One of the big questions in life is, where did we come from and how did we get here? Was life created by God? Or did life come about by some other means? According to Charles Darwin, the origin of life could be explained without God. Darwin's theory of evolution proposes that life evolved from the simplest organisms to the most complex over billions of years. In this program, we will investigate what the theory of evolution is all about and whether or not it really makes sense. Let us start by summarizing what the theory of evolution says and what it means about the origin of humanity. Long ago, atoms combined into molecules, and those molecules combined to form more complex molecules. Then one day, billions of years ago, these molecules organized and came to life in the form of the first living organisms. About 3 billion years ago, through random chance, simple cells were formed, then more complex cells. Through mutations and over billions of years, these simple living forms transformed through a long series of gradual changes into all of the organisms and plants that have ever lived. According to evolutionary theory, all of this happened through random chance, gradually and over billions of years. Since all life is just the result of the random accidents of evolution, there is nothing beyond life. Humans are no more than the matter that makes them up. So when they die, that is it. Humans have no soul or spirit, so there is no afterlife. Human life just ends, and the corpse decomposes into simple compounds and elements, and the process of evolution marches on. Some people think evolution replaces God as creator. We are so used to hearing about evolution that many people just accept it as a fact. Some scientists even refer to the theory of evolution as the fact of evolution, even though in science, theories can never be proven. Stephen Hawking, a famous physicist, explains, "Even a single repeatable observation can destroy even the most grandiose theory." A lot of evidence and observations tell us that evolution is a false theory. Let's look at some of the problems with the theory of evolution. Consider this: if life arose through evolution, why can't scientists create life in the laboratory? After all, according to the theory of evolution, creating life is really only a matter of putting the right atoms together. Scientists are actively pursuing cloning, but all they are doing is manipulating living matter. They didn't create the living matter, so no one has ever succeeded in turning dead atoms into living organisms, even though a lot of intelligence has been put into it. If brilliant scientists can't create life in a lab, then why would anyone believe that it could just happen by accident? Does it really make sense that lifeless atoms could begin to live anyway? How is it possible that dead matter could begin to think, and to become conscious, and to have a memory? As one writer put it, "You can't get something from nothing." How is it possible to get living functions from something that is dead? Science has no answers for these questions. For many years, scientists tried to cause evolution to occur in fruit flies through mutation. Scientists bombarded fruit flies with massive doses of radiation to no avail. Even though hundreds of mutations were identified, none of these resulted in a new species being born. The fruit flies changed within certain limits or became sterile. It appears that the genetic code of the fruit fly prevents it from changing into a new and different creature. So even intelligent scientists working for many years since the early 1900s have been unable to cause the fruit fly to mutate and change into another creature. Once again, if intelligent scientists were unable to cause the fruit fly to transform into a new species using massive doses of radiation, how can we believe that it could occur by random chance? Another problem with evolution is that it fails to explain where the atoms came from that supposedly combined into creatures. The atoms had to come from somewhere. They could not have just magically appeared. For clues about the origin of the universe, one has to look to the Big Bang theory, which is causing many scientists to grudgingly accept that there had to be a creative force behind the universe. Advances in science and instruments that help us to understand how the universe formed have led to a revolution in cosmology. A growing body of data supports the Big Bang theory, which proposes that the matter that forms the universe came into existence through a massive explosion over 15 billion years ago and has been expanding ever since. Even science now claims that the universe is not eternal, and that it had a beginning and was created from nothing. If the universe had a beginning, then it must have had a beginner. Astronomer Robert Jastrow summarizes the reality now faced by science. For the scientist who has lived by his faith in the power of reason, the story ends like a bad dream. He has scaled the mountains of ignorance. He is about to conquer the highest peak. As he pulls himself over the final rock, he is greeted by a band of theologians who have been sitting there for centuries. Even the renowned physicist Stephen Hawking sees the universe as the product of the mind of God. Yet the theory of evolution fills the pages of textbooks and magazines, and any attempts to teach other viewpoints have been suppressed in our supposedly free society. But if scientists are so certain that evolution is the way that life came to exist, why would they say the following things? Paleontologist Niles Eldredge states, "No wonder paleontologists shied away from evolution for so long. It never seems to happen. When you do see the introduction of evolutionary novelty, it usually shows up with a bang, and often with no firm evidence that the fossils did not evolve elsewhere. Evolution cannot be forever going on somewhere else." Yet that's how the fossil record has struck many a forlorn paleontologist looking to learn something about evolution. Jerry Coyne of the Department of Ecology and Evolution at the University of Chicago arrived at the following conclusion. "We conclude, unexpectedly, that there is little evidence for the neo-Darwinian view. Its theoretical foundations and the experimental evidence supporting it are weak." Even these famous evolutionists admit that evolution isn't supported by the fossil data in experiments. This really isn't surprising, since the theory of evolution violates the second law of thermodynamics, which states that things become more disordered over time. Metals rust and corrode, the sun will eventually burn out, and weeds spread on your lawn, and the paint on your car chips and fades. Everything tends towards disintegration and disorder, but the theory of evolution tells us just the opposite, that life gets more organized and complex over time. So the theory of evolution is at odds with an important scientific law which has always been found to be true through countless experiments. This alone is sufficient reason to doubt the validity of the theory of evolution. Now let's suppose for a moment that life really came about as Darwin postulated, through evolution. That would mean that there would have to be millions of in-between species or transitional forms. Say that over millions of years, seals evolved into land animals. We should expect then to find fossils of many intermediate animals as aquatic animals evolve into land animals. Scientists call these intermediate animals transitional forms. The fossil record should be packed with transitional forms, since millions, if not billions, of intermediate forms of organisms would be required as life evolved from single-cell organisms into complex mammals. Darwin himself admitted that his theory was poorly supported by the hard evidence of fossil finds. The problem is that transitional forms haven't been found even after intense efforts to find them. The fossil record shows that species show up and disappear at certain times in the history of the Earth with no evidence of mutation or gradual evolution into other species. The situation is the same for plants. Complex life forms burst into existence at certain times in the fossil record, already specialized for their environment. There is no fossil evidence that simple life forms changed into complex life forms by a long series of gradual steps. More than 100 years after Darwin advanced his theory, scientist Robert Barnes remarked, "Intermediate forms are non-existent, undiscovered, or not recognized." Even the renowned Harvard professor and leading evolutionist, Stephen Jay Gould, admitted, "The extreme rarity of transitional forms in the fossil record persists as the trade secret of paleontology." In other words, paleontologists have known about this problem for a long time, yet have kept it hidden rather than admit the obvious, that the fossils don't support evolution after all. One of the greatest periods of the introduction of new species in the history of the Earth is the Cambrian explosion, which took place on the Earth about 600 million years ago and lasted for 10 million years. During this short geological period, a large quantity of creatures having varying body forms appeared on the Earth, fully formed, with no evidence of their evolution from other species. No scientist has been able to explain the Cambrian explosion. It just does not fit with the gradual change of species predicted by evolutionary theory. This evidence of the rapid creation of new species led Stephen Jay Gould to conclude that a new mechanism other than natural selection was required to explain the rapid appearance of life forms on the Earth. But it doesn't stop there. Our universe appears to be fine-tuned to support life. Astronomer Hugh Ross points to over 30 parameters which are perfectly fine-tuned to support life on Earth. For instance, many planetary systems have more than one star, which would lead to tidal interactions that would disrupt planetary orbits, causing variations on the planet unsuitable for life. Age of the solar system star is another important parameter. If our sun were younger or older, it would not be uniform enough in the energy that it gives off. If the light emitted by our sun were shifted slightly to the red or blue light wavelengths, photosynthesis would not work. If the axial tilt of the Earth were more or less than it is, the surface temperature would be too high. If the ratio of oxygen to nitrogen in our atmosphere was larger, life functions would not proceed at the appropriate rate. If the atmosphere contained different amounts of carbon dioxide and water vapor, then the surface temperature would either be too low or too high to support human life. When all the life-supporting parameters are taken into account, Ross estimates that fewer than a trillionth of a percent of all stars might have a planet like the Earth orbiting it. Ross concludes that even with the vast number of stars and planets, not even one planet, by developing only by natural processes, would meet the requirements for the support of advanced life in the entire universe. The Earth is truly a unique place. The amazing complexity of human life tells us that it was not an accident. Consider this scanning electron micrograph of the eye of a simple fruit fly. Does it really look like something that came about by random chance? Could an explosion in a print shop really have produced one of Shakespeare's sonnets? Or is it the result of a literary craftsman working to produce a masterpiece? Human life is a masterpiece beyond comprehension. Each human being is composed of trillions of cells and molecules. The human brain is truly amazing. Every cubic inch contains 100 million nerve cells interconnected by over 10,000 miles of fibers. The famous writer Isaac Asimov remarked that the human brain was the most orderly arrangement of matter in the universe. Biochemistry professor Michael Behe sums it up saying, "Life on Earth is the product of intelligent activity." Human life is far more complex than the simple machines and gadgets that humans build and design. Yet would we ever believe that even a simple coin could possibly have come to exist by accidental means? Coins exhibit the marks of design, and designs are made by designers. Would we ever think that Mount Rushmore could have come about by natural erosion? Why then would we entertain the notion that the universe and complex life forms could be anything else but the handiwork of a supremely intelligent designer? Evolution is a theory born in a time when the complexity of life was not understood. Darwin's work predates the invention of the automobile, radio, and electrical power. It belongs to a time when little was known about molecular biology, biochemistry, or the origin of the universe. None of the amazing scientific instruments which have revealed the wonders of life were available to Darwin. Evolution is an outdated theory that conflicts with scientific facts and the second law of thermodynamics. We have seen that the fossil record fails to support evolution. Many animals appeared fully formed during the Cambrian explosion with no evidence of evolution. Experiments undertaken to cause evolution to happen have been a total failure. No one has ever succeeded in bringing dead atoms and molecules to life as the theory of evolution necessitates. We have seen that the Earth is carefully tuned to support life. We have also seen that life is complex and organized, which clearly implies that it was designed. When so many facts go against the theory, it should be rejected. And many scientists have done just that. Still, many scientists refuse to consider the possibility that God created life. so they cling to evolution and defend the indefensible. Life in all of its complexity is not an accident. The universe was created by a purposeful God. We have seen the power of the God who created the universe. He has revealed himself through his splendid creation. The truth is obvious to all of those who will open their minds and hearts.